Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit, and He always has so much to say. There's so much He can reveal to His people. We just have to be receptive. As we're receptive to the Word of God, it can transform our lives. The more we believe it, the more we receive it. The more we receive it, the more and act on it, the more it can do in our lives. And God is not slack in keeping His Word, and the Word is not slack in blessing our lives. You know, the first thing God told us to do was be fruitful. That was the first commandment that God gave mankind. Be fruitful. Now, we're made in His image. And the Word of God is fruitful. It can bless you right now. Whatever He say, if you can mix faith with it, if you can even measure it just a little bit, it'll bless you right now. And there's so much revelation in it that it can transform your life continually. You know, the Word of God, in a way, it's like raw material. Raw material can do a lot, but you have to do something with it first. I remember that learning about iron. There was three ingredients to make iron. You had to have iron ore, sulfur, and what's the third one? Coal. You have to get the coal hot to get the and burn that iron ore till it melts, and you have iron. And that's they used to make pig iron at Sloss Furnace. And what you do with pig iron, you could take it and melt it down again and make things you need. You can add other ingredients with it. You can refine it till it's steel, and it can be hardened. You can make carbon steel. You can make all kinds of different types of steel, even stainless steel. But you have to refine it to the point that you get the ferrous out of it. And it won't stain, and a magnet won't stick to it. It's a raw material, pig iron is. Iron ore is a very much, you know, that's in its natural form. So what you have to do, you can take it and melt it and pour it on a cast to make motor blocks. You can, you know, engine blocks. You can make cookware. You can make anything you want. That iron ore has so much potential. The pig iron has so much potential. Now, the Word of God, it can do more than what we realize. And I was thinking about how As I go in the presence of God and let Him teach me and learn things from Him, I'm always talking about following God. But putting faith to what He say, acting on the Word of God, you're going to learn many more things as you're obediently obeying Him. And the Word of God, it won't just be in a raw material form. It will transform your life, and you will be able to do what you couldn't do before. Now, many times I've sought the Lord about things, and I learned it's a healthy thing to trust God. It's one of the best favors you can do for yourself. The more we take Him at His word, we're going to learn who He is and what He's capable of in us. The Lord knows how to bless us. And He cares about us in every way there is. And so does the Word of God. But you can't get to know Him if you lean to your own understanding. Now, leaning to your own understanding is you're trusting what you know, what you're used to, what you've experienced, rather than what God is saying. You know, if you're leaning to God's word, more of your attention, more of your understanding, more of your trust goes to what God said. But when we lean to, it's like a, we're like a meter. We lean towards what we believe the most. Something can be in your heart, and it may not even be what you greatly desire. And this is just how things, this is just how people are. This is the challenge. I used to wonder, why is it that people won't follow God and learn the things that I'm learning? Why do they wrestle with following Him and not going forward? It's obvious that what God's going to say is going to work. Why don't more people do that? But here's the thing: if you habitually do something, it's in your heart, and it's not easy to just change what's in your heart. The Word of God, if you have a good heart, it'll grow in your heart. That's why it's so important to hear the Word of God, and hear the Word of God, and hear the Word of God repetitiously, so that the power, the raw material in God's Word can grow in us. Now, I was sent with a message saying follow God. I would explain it. I would, you know, like I always teach. That's how I always taught. And I would do what God, I would say what God gave me to say. And I was just sure that some of the pastors and people of God that I knew would do this. But the message was not received like I thought it would be. Especially people that love the Word. Some people love the Word and they're students of the Word, and they gravitate toward the Word. They preach the Word. But even they didn't follow God like I thought they would. And the Lord would show me what would happen if they did. And I'm not judging people saying, well, they didn't do it. They just didn't do what God showed me. I know what would have happened if they would have followed. And it didn't happen. So I can safely say they didn't do it. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I love everybody that God sent me to, and I care about them. I want the best for them. I used to get angry because I knew that it couldn't happen unless they followed God. And I also knew what would happen if they didn't follow God. And I didn't want that to happen. They have it in writing, because I wrote those words most of the time. Sometimes I spoke them. But all of them were of God, and I knew that it would happen like He said. And I used to pray that they would follow God. I remember praying for a pastor. I kept praying. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, he's got to make a decision. And when the Lord said that, I just got up and did something else. And the very next Sunday, I went to church. He even said that he got to make a decision. People have to decide, I'm going to do this. That's when you're going to get somewhere. That's when you're going to get off the sidelines. When you say in your heart, I'm going to do this. When it's like that, something's going to happen then. Now that is faith. That's when it's going to work. That's when you're going to see the better results. God doesn't bless people because He likes them. He doesn't bless them because He loves them. He doesn't bless them just because they have His favor. He has favor. He blesses obedience to the Word. Now, God is foundation, and we have to receive the fact that He is foundation, and then we have to take it at His Word and do the foundational things of the Word of God. It's amazing how wonderful it works. Now, God loves us, and His Word loves us. His will loves us. He's towards us. He wants to be a blessing towards us. He wants to see us in our best condition. But none of that can happen unless it's okay with us. We have to decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take Him at His Word. I'm going to do what He say do. I'm going to help Him. I'm going to do what He say do. Now, Every part of everything that God speaks, it'll do what it's supposed to do. That means that a person can be skilled in one area of life more than another. That also means that you can have the God kind of success in the area you apply His word, and you know, and then you can do poorly in other areas where you don't apply the word. But every form of success suggests that you can do it in every area. And the raw materials today become the refined products of tomorrow. Now, here's some things that happened to me, and I was amazed at the success that was imparted to me. I sought the Lord. That was a season I learned about His peace. And I received the peace. I received the rest. I studied the scriptures. I preached it in a message. And I started studying it. And then one day I read that scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. I used to read every day. I read the whole chapter every day. But the part that I focused on the most was verses 4 through 10. He said, "Be anxious for nothing." And the first time I read it before, but I saw something in that scripture, and I got a hold of it. I said, "Wait a minute. What if you hear bad news, such as your mother was in a car wreck? Be anxious for nothing?" And it was weird. I said, "Wait a minute, Lord. What if you hear bad news and you want to do something? You mean don't be anxious?" And so I read it again. And I thought about it, Paul. I just thought about it from, you know, all day. Be anxious for nothing. I never thought about that before. Not like that. I read it again. I'd already been reading scriptures about peace. I read it again. I kept reading it. Then I started praying it. I said, "Lord, bless me to be anxious for nothing." And then I started confessing. I used to listen to Charles Caps in those days. And you can confess anything you want. Even confession itself is raw material. And it can give you the greatest refined products out there. You can make a lot of things out of confessing faith, words of faith. You're confessing what God said. And it can do you some good in every area of your life. It can truly transform your life in every way. So I continually did this. I practiced these things. It became important. Now, these are some of the things that happened. After about 30 days, it was in my heart to be anxious for nothing. And then, you know, the scriptures go on and talk about the peace of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he said, the latter part, if there be any grace, if there be any kind, you know, think on the good things. And I started governing my life by those scriptures. Now, I prayed them, I confessed them, I prayed them, and I confessed them, and I spoke it. And I applied it. And the more it got in my heart, the easier it was to perform these things. Now, what happened next, you know, the Word of God went from a raw material to a refined product. I found myself able to control my emotions at my own will. If I didn't want to be frustrated, I chose not to be frustrated. If I didn't want to have a meltdown, I just didn't have a meltdown. And I found myself laughing at things that would have caused me much grief and sorrow. I said, "Man, this is so cool. I don't have to get upset over things. I can be myself. I can think. And under pressure, I can think. under pressure, I can consider the facts and judge and make sober decisions. These are the refined products of obeying God. It was fun. And it opened the door for me to learn greater things. And when the Lord said concepts and things that I needed, I was able to keep it. I was able to walk in the authority that God had given me. Authority was another, it came to me as another raw material. And in other broadcasts, I talked about the gunfights. I would tell Satan he can't kill anybody, can't hurt anybody. Nobody ever got killed after I learned about authority in the neighborhood when I heard gunfights. I had 100% success. And I know people won't always believe that, but that's what happened. I used to be surprised. And then I kind of got used to it. And then I started expecting the success I enjoyed. And it had to register too. The word had to form in me. It was, I enjoyed it. I learned so many truths the same way. Hearing the word of God. And the Lord would tell me things that would make me think. And he would give me information that made the difference. And I was able to do things that I normally couldn't do. It's good to remember that when the Lord speaks, he has so much in store. And his word is like raw materials. Now, I was telling my son just today how when you're at peace, it's easy to receive the word of God. The word of God is sown in peace. Sometimes when the Lord give me a word for people, I seek the Lord about how to give it and what to say and what to do, how to do it. And if they're frustrated, I wait. I talk to them to build them up. And when they're at peace, then I give them the word God gave. If I can. It all depends on the Holy Spirit. But most of the time, that's the way I do it if I have a choice about it. And sometimes you have to just do what God say, when he say it, how he say it. But the word is sown in peace. Now, I learned, as I drew near to the Lord, and I learned his peace, and to be not anxious, that part of God's word was in my heart, and it was activated. And it was activated to the point that I found myself being strong where I would normally be weak. Or I learned skills where, I was saved a long time, but I didn't learn skills like this until I applied those scriptures deep in my heart. When I prayed them and confessed them and spoke them and decided to act on them, that's when I started growing in those areas. And I found out, oh, this is how you do it. The same word of God that I always read works. The same word. See, I received it, and it works. It works in my life. Now, I was talking about authority. Authority also. So I learned warfare as I took authority. I took authority because I had to. When people were shooting or if a fight broke out, I would always say, Satan, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And it works. Nobody ever got hurt. And it was astonishing to me. I said, who would believe this that I know? I mean, who? And I got used to it. And I had a new confidence. And it made me want to follow God even more. So the Holy Spirit would teach me, you know, as a minister, he called me to the ministry. And if you're a minister, he called you to the ministry. And he called you with something in mind. You have things that can be done. You have things you can say. There's a plan in place. That's what I'm trying to get out. If God called you to the ministry, he called you with a plan and a purpose. Now, if you traditionalize your ministry, most people do that. They do what I was doing before I found that scripture. I just read the scriptures and try to get some encouragement. It's kind of like eating a peach tree, you know, eating a fruit. You eat the fruit, you're not hungry, you're satisfied. But if you plant the peach seed and watch over that tree, it'll grow and you'll have many more peaches. You can make peach pie. You can make all kinds. You can sell the, you know, baskets of peach. That peach seed is a raw material, just like the Word of God. But when I internalized it, when I let the Word be a part of me, I received it in my heart. I believed it. So the times I would have been anxious, I just chose not to be anxious because I had the Word on it. And from there, I learned I could think. I could think under pressure. I could think when other people were under pressure, trying to get me under pressure. I could judge. And I could retain the Word that God gave me. You know, the things that, all the things that happened to Job, that was Satan trying to get Job to curse God. And he did it quick. He tried to do a quick thing to get him off balance and make him curse God in a moment of weakness. But Job was too strong for that. Because Job internalized other parts of the Word of God. He internalized what he heard his fathers teach. He internalized what he and his friends used to talk about. He internalized the truth that he could detect, the truth that he received, and his relationship with the Lord. He was devoted to God. He internalized. So when Satan did his worst, Job stood. And he wouldn't curse God and die. And he didn't know why everything happened the way it did. So under pressure, when people are under pressure, they try to get you to be under pressure. And they feel like you don't care if you don't. And I had to learn to deal with people that don't think I care. But I, you know, everybody that know me, they know that I don't get astonished. Things that astonish most people don't astonish me. Because I have the Word. That's what I'm talking about. The refined Word of God happens as you receive that raw material of the Word. When you receive the sincere milk of the Word, that's like raw material. But when you internalize, it can do more than what you can expect or think or imagine. Just like heaven. I'm talking about the Word. Just like in the future of heaven, the things that's going to, the glory that we're going to, that's going to be revealed from God, it's things that we can't think or imagine. Well, the Word of God that you read off the pages has the same properties in it, the same, it can be refined to do the same thing heaven does. Heaven runs off the Word just like we do. Heaven is a glorious place because there's no sin and people have been operating in the Word a very long time. All the angels, people, everybody that's there, that's how they govern themselves. So they learn that they ever increase in strength, they ever increase in wisdom, and they ever increase in knowledge because they ever increase in the love of God. See, if you can increase in the love of God, you increase in all points. See, when you love God, that you don't want no evil. You don't want to do anybody wrong. And then you learn the wisdom aspect. You see the wisdom in the ways of God and how it all works together. And you don't want the darkness. You lose all appetites. All dark appetites are gone. It becomes a thing of the past. Every time, as I learn the truth of God's Word, I have less of an appetite for the world system. And, you know, things of the world, I don't want it. And if I feel like something is a temptation, I just kill the temptation. I just speak it out of my life. The raw material of the word, if I have to. And then I enjoy the refined portion of God's word. See, I learned to get things that was a hindrance to me. I asked the Lord about how to deal with it. I didn't have the knowledge. I just had the desire to please God. And I knew that I couldn't do some things anymore. And I knew that some things, if I did, it would be a negative end to it. It would be a death. But I didn't want to not do those things because I didn't want to die. I didn't want to do those things because I didn't want to dishonor my God. I didn't want to live like Satan. And I want to represent God, because if I represent God, more people that I know will live. There are people that are weak, and if you follow God, they'll follow God. If you fall, they'll fall. And I didn't want to help Satan out. So I was highly motivated to get to drive out all the evil things that this life offers. And I wanted to make certain that I hated every aspect of the world system. No reserves, no hidden, no nothing in the hiding places. I wanted real integrity. I wanted my integrity to be just like Jesus' integrity. And when I worship God, sometimes I ask Him to help me in areas. Things that if I'm not sure where I stand, I ask Him to help me till I know I hate it. See, receiving God's word, if there's anything in your heart already, when you receive more light, sometimes you have to speak out the things that are dark, because they wrestle against the things of light. They are contrary to the things of truth. Lies are contrary to truth. Lust is contrary to love. Hatred is contrary to love. Foolishness is contrary to wisdom. You know, and the ways of man have a mixture of all these worldly problems. And you know, a coward, a person that's scared to do the right thing because they're afraid of loss. They're afraid of having a negative outcome. They regard the world system. And if they've been a coward a long time, they're not just going to start being brave. They have to learn the ways of God and they'll become brave. Now, God loves the coward just like He loved the brave. He loves the person. Because we are raw material, just like the word can be raw material to us. Now, the word, if you receive it, it can be refined the day you receive it. But most time it comes to us, you know, it seems like raw material because we're used to other things. We're used to the way this world is governed. We're used to the way that other people do things. And we're not always used to the things of God. But as we do the things of God, we find out that they can refine your life. But God sees something wonderful in us, a part of Himself, in every person. Every person. Even the sinners. But if we don't get in covenant with Him, a lot of things can't be activated. Now, He don't love us for what we can do and how we can be refined. He loves us for us. And you gotta, you know, that's important to know. He don't love a man of God because he can win souls. He loves that person for that person. He explained that to me. He doesn't require dedication. And he told me I had to sit down. I had to rethink a lot of things. I said, wait a minute. Well, he let me just think about that for a whole day. And then he said it again. I don't require dedication. I said, wait a minute. I believe in dedication. And that's right. And I knew he said it, and I had it. I just thought, I'm like, what? And then he just spelled it out for me. He said, I love you for you, not what you do for me. And I had to think about that a while. But I thought about what I was thinking about while I was pondering and rethinking things. Without dedication, people can't grow right. But God was telling me something else entirely. His love for us runs so deep. It's not about how much you go to church, how much you pray, how much you read. He loves you for you. And then he just spelled it out even more. He said, I don't require dedication, I desire dedication. Now I'm talking about the things that help you grow. Things like going to church, the things that people make a big deal out of. Because I don't like to see people not go to church, because there's a devil out there trying to fool them. And I work a lot. I want to be at every church service, and I can't. I have a daughter with special needs. I work two jobs. I have a job and a business, and then a ministry. And I'm active in the ministry. I'm more active than I look, because I have to make radio broadcasts, and I make the website broadcast every day. So my schedule is very tight. And I miss a lot of Wednesday services because of it. And I don't like to miss Wednesday, because that's one of the best services of the whole week.